may not be too thankful about that unless you've ever needed rescuing or ever realized that you needed rescuing. And the reality of it is we all need rescuing. At one point or another, we all need rescuing. And I'm going to deal a little bit with that this morning. I had no idea they sang that or was going to sing that. But before I do, I want to see if I can get you to smile. Let me know you're breathing. I read this, thought it was funny. The title said, Four Husbands. That alone ought to get your attention. Four husbands. The local news station was interviewing an 80-year-old lady because she had just gotten married for the fourth time. The interviewer asked her questions about her life and what it felt like to be married again at 80. And then about her new husband's occupation. She replied, he's a funeral director. Interesting, the newsman thought. He then asked her if she wouldn't mind telling him a little bit about her first three husbands and what they did for a living. And she paused for a few moments, needing time to reflect on all those years. And after a short time, a smile came to her face, and she proudly answered, explaining that she had first married a banker when she was in her 20s, and then a circus ringmaster in her 40s, a preacher in her 60s, and then in her 80s, a funeral director. And the interviewer looked at her quite astonished and asked why she had married four men with such diverse careers. And she smiled and explained, I married one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. Thought that was pretty good. So you are awake. Amen. Your smile is there. What a blessing. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. I don't know which marriage you own, but maybe that'll bring some context to it. Oh, the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter number 1, be finding your place. I do want to thank the Lord for revival. The revival meeting was just absolutely amazing. If you missed it, well, you just missed it. And I'd encourage you to get the CDs. They'll be, Brother Jimmy will be working on those. hopefully we'll have them ready for you by next week. I know they were ton of people asking for them, and hopefully she can get them on the website. Two are already on the website. If I can get my mom to do something, we'll have the rest up there. No, the rest will be on our website, so you can go there. And if you missed it, really, you need to go listen to the messages. They're some of the most powerful preaching I've heard in a long, long time. Amen. Mark chapter number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Verse number 38, we'll begin reading and read through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, and he said unto them, let us go unto the next towns, that I may preach there also. For therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. That'll be where we draw our text from this morning. If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightly charged him, and forthwith sent him away, and saith unto him, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. And that'll be all the reading this morning, but I do want to go back and draw your attention to verse 40. And this leper come to Jesus and besought him, begging him, bowing down to him, and made this faithful and full of faith statement, to the, so full of faith that it moved the Lord Jesus. And he said this to the Lord. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And I want to preach on this subject this morning. You can if you will. You can if you will. Now, we all believe this morning, and rightfully so, that God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. With God, nothing is impossible. I believe we'd all testify this morning. God can do anything. There's nothing too hard for God. You're not too far that God can't reach you. There's no sickness that God can't heal. Even dead people, God can bring resurrection power. There's nothing out of reach with God, and He can do anything. And that's not the question in this text. He is able. He was available. And this man with leprosy said to him, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst." In other words, "I know you can, but will you?" And I want to preach on that this morning for a few minutes and take this man with leprosy and just draw some similarities to our own life. And you may say this morning, "Well, goodness, I don't have anything in common with this man. I don't have leprosy. I'm saved." And you know the correlation between leprosy and sin, and there is a direct correlation. There's no better illustration of a man with leprosy and sin. It's a degenerating disease. It's an awful thing. It gets worse as it goes. It debilitates and destroys the body of a human being. And so does sin. Yeah, right. You say, "But preacher, I don't have leprosy. I cannot identify." I can say this to you this morning. You may not have leprosy, but we all face, as was saying earlier. You are facing this morning, or you will be facing very soon, something that is out of your control, something that is beyond your ability and your power to fix. And you'll need God to come and do something if He will. Amen. And I said at the beginning of this, we all believe He can. Yes, sir. Amen. But the question is, will He? And I want to ask this morning and make this proposition. What in your life do you need God to do and to wear in your life? What situation? Maybe spiritually, maybe physically. This man has a physical need, and he needed Jesus to move. But maybe your marriage is in shambles. Maybe you need Jesus to move in your marriage, and you know He can. But you're questioning, will He? You may have a son or a daughter that's out in sin, that the world has put its chains around, and the devil seemingly dragging your child away, and it's out of your reach, and you're wondering, "Oh God, I know You can. I know You can, but will You, Lord?" So I don't know what you're facing this morning. I'm facing some things in my own life, and I have often asked, "Lord," and prayed, "Lord, I know You can. I know You can answer my prayer. I know You have the ability, and You're able, and You're available. You've been near me, but Lord, will You touch this, and will You change this, and will You deliver this?" Because it's out of my hands. It's beyond my control. I don't have the power or authority to change this situation. Are you interested in that? What does it take to get God to move? What does it take to get Jesus past the point of understanding and agreeing that He can, and getting to the place of knowing that He will? Amen. I'm interested in that.
Amen.
Amen. Because that takes it out of the generic realm. and makes it very personal. He said, I've seen God bless and heal those, and I can tell you stories about how God did that and helped them. And we believe God does, and we've seen God work and move, and we believe that, but it gets awful lonely and awful doubtful in our own life when you've seen and live with that same situation day in and day out, and you begin doubting and wondering, Lord, can you and will you move in my life? I'm here to tell you, He can and He will. And if you just ask this leper, he would testify this morning and say, not only can he, but he will. Because he did. Now, first of all, this leper was facing some obstacles. It wasn't the easiest thing in the world for this man. I mean, understand, Jesus, and if you just read the context, read chapter 1, chapter 2, the Gospel of Mark. If you want to hop right down into part of the Word of God and just, I mean, put it down in fifth and fly and go, the book of Mark is the book you want to get in. It's miracle after miracle. It's moving, fast-paced, moving, power-packed. I mean, God's just doing something everywhere. And Jesus is healing and performing miracles and moving and working in people's lives. And He said, well, I've done enough in this town. It's time to move to the next town. It's time for me to move on and preach in the next town. Let me just say this quickly in passing. You say, well, I want him to move in my life, but I'm not ready. I'm enjoying my life. I like my life. And Jesus will come. He'll be around when I'm ready. I wouldn't bank on that, because he was on the move. He was moving in this town, but he was moving to the next town.
Right.
Don't count on Jesus always being there and waiting till you're ready. That is not how it works. If this leper had to put it off and procrastinated, he would have died a leper. He'd have died in his sin. He'd have died in his disease. He'd have died the way, in the condition that he was. And it was an awful condition.
Right.
But he said, He said, I know I'm facing a lot of obstacles. There's people all around that needs help. Lord knows, I mean, there's blind people that are calling out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And there's deaf men that they're trying to get to him, and the crowds are thronging him, and everybody needs help. But how is it and why is it that this leper, in the midst of all these obstacles, how did he get help? Why did he get help? It's interesting. He had physical problems. I mean, his fingers were probably falling off. He probably only had nubs left. His toes had probably fallen off. His nose possibly gone. Ears fallen off. That's what leprosy does. And so he had problems even moving to get to Jesus. I'm sure his mouth and lips were mangled. But yet he found the strength and the energy, in spite of all the obstacles, to go to him. The Bible says he moved toward Jesus. He came to Jesus. And you say, well, I thought Jesus had to come to me first. Did I not say Jesus come to this town? Jesus made the first move. But it does require you, just like it required that leper to make the next move. Do you know you can sit in the church and Jesus help everybody around you, and you remain in your condition, and you remain in your sin, and you remain in your situation? Everybody can be getting help all around you, but if you're not willing to move, he will move on. So that's harsh. That's cruel. No, that's reality. What a privilege, what an honor that he would pass by our way. 7+ billion people on planet Earth. I mean, the fact that you're in the very room with God this morning is a privilege and an honor, and we ought not to take it lightly that we get to be in His presence. And if we would procrastinate and let the devil talk us into and lie to us and make us think that he'll just always be around, and that'll always be available, healing and help is just always going to be there, it's just simply not true. You better do business with God when you can, while you can, where you can. And when Jesus is passing by, that's when. And that's where you need to get help. And this man had all kind of obstacles. Wouldn't you agree? He was separated from his family. Home broke up. Because when you got leprosy, you couldn't remain in your home. I heard on the news where they were in the conundrum and what they were going to do. Speaking of the government, Brother Jackie mentioned earlier about this coronavirus. What are they going to do if a child gets this disease? And the mom and daddy don't have the disease. Are they going to separate those families? What are they going to do if a husband gets this disease, which is happening right now? I saw two couples this week where a husband had it and the wife didn't, and they had to separate the husband and the wife and quarantine one and separate. That's exactly what happened in Bible days. If you came down with leprosy, you was to be divided. You was to be cast out and put in your own community, separated and isolated away from home and everything you love. And that's where he's living. See the obstacles? Don't you know he longed to have his home restored? Don't you know he longed to see restoration between him and his wife? And don't you know he wanted to hug his children, but he couldn't? I mean, he was facing all kind of obstacles. He was away from home, his physical maladies. He had all kind of problems. People trying to get to Jesus in front of him. Obstacles and excuses everywhere. Yet, he got help. He got healed. I'm sure he probably thought, I'm too dirty. Everywhere I go, I have to cry out, unclean, unclean. But when he came to Jesus, he wasn't saying unclean. No. Because Jesus is unlike anybody else in your life. Husband, wife, son, daughter, friend. This man probably felt, I'm too dirty. I've been forbidden to go. I can't get around that crowd. I'm too dirty. I'm too filthy. I'm unclean. And that was a real obstacle. And I don't know what you came in here this morning with, but I guarantee you, if you are in your sin or you in a situation that's out of your control, you probably feel unworthy. You probably feel helpless and hopeless and feel like life is always going to be this way. Amen. And that's an obstacle that you've got to come to grips with. It is going to always be this way unless you're willing to do something about it. Right. It won't change just by wishing it so. It won't change just by hoping it so. No, God give us exact directions right here in the text of how to get help. How you can get the Lord Jesus to help me and you. And this man probably, I'm sure, faced the obstacle of being too dirty, too damaged. I mean, what's people going to say? Him walking in with nubby fingers, nose half rotted away, ears detached. He's too detached from society. What an obstacle. He's probably delirious and deranged. I mean, he is filthy and in his situation, it's obstacles everywhere. It's excuses. I mean, if anybody had an excuse not to come public, Not to launch out, not to come out and, hey, there was this man. Do you know those same excuses travel up and down Baptist pews every Sunday? The devil whispers those same, you too dirty. I'm too dirty. I'm too disassociated. There's too many others that need help. I'm dissatisfied. Don't you think he was dissatisfied? With people. I guarantee you he had been to people to ask for help, and people couldn't help him. Don't you think he's dissatisfied? I'm talking about obstacles. Even the priest to date, they couldn't help him. He finally got up the nerve to go to the preacher, only to find out the preacher couldn't help him. Don't you know that's dissatisfying? The priest couldn't help him, people couldn't help him. And so I'm sure he felt absolutely hopeless. Yeah, man. But it was noised abroad. There was a man walking the streets of Galilee who could do more than people. who was unlike just the normal person, who could do unbelievable miracles. I mean, it had been noised abroad. It had been published everywhere. And this leper thought, I'm facing obstacles, but here's my opportunity. I finally have a hope. I have a chance if I can just get to this man. And you hear it in his voice and said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can. You can if you will. So he was disabled, distracted. And he had more obstacles and excuses than most, as I mentioned. And had came to the place, he wasn't going to allow these obstacles to get in the way of his opportunity. Now, how many of y'all believe this happened? This ain't a parable. This is actual history. It happened. There was a leper. There was a leper who came to Jesus, bowed, beseeched, and begged, and believed, which is the critical key.
Amen.
This happened. And if you believe it happened for him and to him, do you believe Jesus had power to heal him? He absolutely did. He didn't just have the power to do it, he did it. I mean, that leper who probably had missing ears and missing thumbs and fingers left and went back home, not back to the community where he was excommunicated. No, but he went home where God restored him. Ears back in place, fingers all 10, toes all 10. I mean, he come marching back into town fully restored, healed, and helped. Wouldn't you, if he could do it for him, don't you think he'd do it for you? He will. He can. He can. Well, quickly, not only the obstacles, look at the opportunity just for a minute. The opportunity of a lifetime presented itself. You say, I come to get help from the church this morning. I'm sorry. I mean, I thank God for the church. I do. I love church. I'm for church. I think you ought to be in church. I think you ought to be the church. But you know what? This church, apart from the Lord Jesus, cannot help you. No matter how much we try, we can try to fix your morality. We can try to change your mind. We can try to change your psychology. But I'm telling you, there is no help from you in the church alone. You want an opportunity of a lifetime? Understand that the one who purchased the church, the one who is the bride of the church, the one who created the church, he can do for you what no man can. He can bring healing and help and hope to you. And I say, what an opportunity. If Jesus walked in those doors this morning in flesh, what is it in your life? What's that one thing in your life? I'm sure this leper had a lot of problems besides leprosy. But I guarantee you, that was the most pressing problem he had.
Yeah.
If Jesus walked in the flesh this morning and said, okay, I'm here. What can I help you with? Give me one thing, the most pressing thing. What can I fix for you? Wouldn't you say, wow. What an opportunity.
Amen.
You don't have to imagine him walking in the doors because he was here before you got here.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Yes. You say, but that leper had it easy. I mean, what an opportunity. He actually saw Jesus. He actually got touched by Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you know it required the same amount of faith from him as God requires of us today? That leper would not have got healed. He would not have got restored. He would not have received a healing touch from God except for the fact that he got to the place that he was willing to bow down and to beg and to believe.
Amen.
That Jesus could. And that's exactly what and where we have to get. It ain't enough to come. If you just come this morning, even if you come begging, you'll leave begging. Even if you come and bow down in an altar begging, you'll leave begging and in the same condition. It requires faith. It requires believing. Not only that He can, but that He will. Amen. So if you knew Jesus would fix that one thing you named, wouldn't you consider that the opportunity of a lifetime? What is it? What would you have Him fix? What would you have the great physician heal? What part of your life would you have Him touch and speak peace to? You say, would He do that? He can. Do you believe? If you do, He will.
Amen.
Let me show you just a couple of things. I'm almost done. A couple of things about this opportunity. Jesus was passing by, as I mentioned. That in of itself, anytime Jesus is passing by, that's an opportunity. And He's passed by our way so many times, we have taken it for granted. But they come a time and a place where Jesus passed that way for the last time, never to come back through again. And do you know that's true in your life? He's walked by you. He's rubbed shoulders with you. He's whispered in your ear so many times, time and time and time again. And you just take it for granted. He's going to keep coming, and there's going to come a day when He won't come back. So you better get what you can get while you can get it. Jesus is passing by. And for the first time in a long time, this man finally had an hope and an opportunity. An opportunity for what? He has the opportunity for real help. For real hope. For real healing. For a restored home. Amen. You say, well, that's good preaching, and that sounds good, but whoop-de-doo. Obviously, you ain't been a leper. I've heard this said, and I've even said it, sadly. Justin, it's the truth. I say, y'all pray for so-and-so. He had a mild heart attack. I said that several times. He had a little bout with cancer. Do you know there's no such thing as a mild heart attack when it's in my heart? I don't care how little. It's big if it's mine. There is no such thing as a little bout with cancer unless it's them. But when it comes to 102 Stonecrest Court, Packlet, South Carolina 29372, and finds my address, I won't be calling it little. No, it'll be a big deal. And the reason that we cannot identify, and it's no big deal, and it's just preaching, is because you've never been a leper.
Amen.
But I guarantee you, to this man, it was a big deal. It was the opportunity of a lifetime. And what I'm trying to get us to understand this morning is you may not be a leper, but you are a sinner.
Amen.
And whether you understand it or realize it or how big of a deal this is, hey, God help you this morning to understand and realize that Jesus is passing by. And this may be one of the very few, if not the only, opportunities you will ever have to get your sins forgiven. Amen. That's a big deal. And that's to the sinner, but even to the saved. What is it that you need God to fix? Quickly, this man seized the opportunity. You see that in the text? He wasn't going to let this one pass by. He seized the opportunity. Look at how he done it. Notice how he assessed his own situation. He looked at the situation honestly, humbly. He understood this had real ramifications. If he let this opportunity slide by, it may never come again. And he looked at and assessed his own situation. Verse 40, it speaks of how he came. So he made a move. He began to move toward Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, if you're ever going to get help, you better get to moving His way. He began. He was beseeching. That means begging. Verse 40, right here in your King James Bible. And the leper came. Then there came a leper to him, beseeching him, begging him, and kneeling down. Not only did he begin heading toward Jesus and begging, but he bowed in a crowd. He said, I don't care what people think. I don't care if my ears are falling. I don't care how I look. I don't care how many people's listening and watching and whispering and gawking and talking. I'm coming.
Yes, sir.
And I'll bow down and I will beg. When it means something, when you get desperate enough, you'll be willing to bow down and beg.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
So he assessed his own situation. Look, he approached the Savior by beginning and begging and bowing. Do you know what bowing, let me just quickly say this, bowing. In culture, if you watch the news or look at the TV and look at other cultures, and especially in the Middle East or in other parts of the world, they still bow. When leaders meet, you'll see them bow. I don't know how many of y'all remember our president, vice president, but he'd bow down. And if you notice, I've seen the pictures. Go back and look at them. Barack Obama would bow down, I mean about double over bowing down. And you know what culture says, and this is the truth. You know why that was made such a big deal and bothered so many people? Say, he's a bowing president. You know why? Because culture, throughout the ages, culture says, whoever is the lesser power bows the lowest.
Amen.
That's a big deal if you look at it culturally. And this man was willing to bow down to a higher power. Not only culturally, but historically, bowing is a reality. Look at when bowing, the person is showing his neck to the king. When he bows down, as historically, research it, they're showing their neck to the king. You know what he's saying? King, my life is in your hands.
Hey.
I know you have every right and every authority to take my life, to chop my head off at your word. And by bowing, we're saying to the Lord, Lord, my life, this leper saying, my life is in your hand.
Amen.
So yes, I'm willing to bow. Not only culturally and historically, speaking of bowing, but scripturally. And as a preacher, that's what I need to be concerned with. You know, we need to get back to bowing down before God. Hey, you can sit in your seat and pray. And if you're physically hampered and cannot get up and walk to an altar, that's one thing. But I'm going to tell you something. God forbid, and we have gotten away from using old-fashioned altars and bowing down and just saying, I'll just pray in my pew. There's something about getting up and going and bowing down.
Amen.
Showing the neck to the King. Amen. Saying, my life is in your hands. Say, why do I have to do that? The Bible says in James chapter number 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. In other words, this leper was doing everything he could. I'm talking about his approach to the Savior. He said, I'll do everything in my power. He began coming toward him. He begged. He bowed. And then he believed. He said, I'll do everything in my power, but everything in my power, I'm still coming short. When I do everything in my power, all the remedies, all the home remedies, all the doctors, everything in my power, I'm still got leprosy. My fingers are still falling off. I still can't go home. There's no restoration. There's no reconciliation. All my power. He said, but here's Jesus. Here's an opportunity of a lifetime. I'm taking this chance. I'm taking this opportunity. I will bow. I'll beg. I will plead. And I will believe.
Amen.
And that's what moved the heart of Jesus.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, he believed. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst. He didn't say if thou canst, thou wilt. He didn't tell God and demand God and say, well, if you could, you would. Like some of these nut jobs on TV. Trying to command God. No. No, he said, I know you can. And if you would, I believe you would.
Amen.
I'd be so grateful if you would.
Amen. Yes.
Why don't we get away from generic praying where we can let God off the hook if it don't come through? Oh, come on now.
Amen.
We'll pray something specific and say, if it's your will. Whatever happened to praying in power and believing God can and will answer? You don't need to let God off the hook. He's God. You didn't have him on the hook to begin with. You can't put God on the hook. You can't put God in a box. He's God. And we need to get back to having a real faith in Him, knowing and believing that He can do anything. Not just for them, but for you.
Amen.
Pray in faith, believing.
Yes.
The Bible still says, if we have the faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed, we can say in that mountain, be thou removed. And it'd be cast into the sea.
Amen.
That's itty bitty, tiny, 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 tiny faith. Amen.
Amen.
Well, say, well, how do I get more faith? I'll tell you a good way. Come back to church tonight.
Amen.
Say, oh, come on now. You do. No, 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 no.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God.
Amen.
Say, well, I'll just stay home and read tonight. I didn't watch what the Bible said. The Bible says faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
How shall we hear? About a preacher.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. 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 Well, some of y'all got done before I did. I ain't going to preach on this. I'm just saying, he had obstacles just like we do. But oh, what an opportunity.
Amen.
And he seized the opportunity. Will you?
Yeah.
You want your marriage to be better? Get Jesus involved. Get out of the generic realm and get specific. I talked to some people yesterday. I've been praying for over 6 months. Talked to a young man yesterday. He's in deep trouble. Deep trouble. And I ain't gonna lie to you. It's so deep. It's so bothersome. I'm being honest with you. Brother Wayne, I have prayed generically for that situation. You know why? Because in my heart I thought, goodness. I mean, this is just how I think. Brother Stephen, I said, listen how stupid this sounds when I say it out loud. But then be honest with yourself, this is exactly how we think. It'd take God to fix something like this. Well, who are you praying to? I mean, that's what I asked myself. And I'd say, Lord, you know the situation. Lord, you know how messed up this situation is. This boy so far out there. This family, there ain't no way this could ever be restored. But you, hey, I'm telling you this morning, God is moving and answering and letting me know I don't have to pray to God in fear, wondering if He can. No, He can. He will if we'll pray in faith, believing.
Amen.
And yesterday, this boy reached out to me. First time in 6 months. My phone, I said, well, the gears are moving. God's moving. There ain't nothing too hard for Him. No situation. Hallelujah. Made a believer out of this boy. He got his family back. I know how good that feels. So, yeah, you ain't never lost your family, have you? You better thank God you hadn't if you hadn't.
Amen.
But you ain't above it. Better take heed lest you fall.
Right.
Your marriage ain't never been on the rocks close to divorcement, have you? Hey, take it from some of us who it has.
Yeah.
It ain't guaranteed.
Amen.
And when God gets to restoring things and fixing things and repairing things, hey, listen. Oh, how we ought to praise Him and thank Him and put full confidence in Him that He gave us the opportunity to work in our life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You can believe Him. You can have faith in Him. And this man did, and look at how it turned out. He got everything restored. He got his family back. He got his fingers back. He got his faith back. He got life. He got his life back. Because Jesus said, I will. Ain't you glad He will answer you and say, yes, I will. Be thou cleansed.
Amen.
Yeah. I ain't going to preach this, although Brother Rackley preached about an hour and 37 minutes one night, and I didn't hear one complaint. I ain't been preaching nowhere near that long. I have. I preached 3 hours one night and took up a $40-something thousand offering after it. God was in it, buddy.
Amen.
I didn't take it up. They did it. God did it. It wasn't just an offer for a church. They give it to me. I said, what'd you do with it? I give it back to them.
Amen.
And come here to be your pastor. Where's my money? No, I'm just.
Amen.
I'm right now done. All these obstacles. Can't you identify with that? You got some things in your life that you feel like, and you've believed so far, I can't get over that. I can't get past it. It's too hard. It's too high. It's too far of a gap. Those are called obstacles.
Amen.
None will outpace what this man was facing. Yet he seized the opportunity. Got full healing, full help, restoration. Amen. See that?
Amen.
I'm not going to preach this last point if y'all act like you understand and enjoyed it. He felt obligated to do something. After Jesus done all that for him, he felt his obligation to go and blaze it abroad. Spread like a wildfire. He could not contain himself. He could not hold it in. All the goodness of God, all that God had done for him, he felt obligated. Where is our obligation?
Yeah, right.
God has been good to us.
Yeah.
Oh, he's been so good to us. And we ought to feel obliged and obligated to do as this man did and go out and spread. The Bible said, Jesus saith unto him, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much. You can tell he was a Baptist. Jesus said, don't you go saying nothing. Baptist. This is... Mr. Leper the Baptist. Well, and published it much, and to blaze abroad the matter. What matter? That matter. His matter. You know, you can talk about your stuff when Jesus gets involved. He probably felt ashamed prior to, but now he's just astonished and amazed. And he's publishing and telling everybody. In so much, listen to this, in so much that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city. It got so noised and so publicized and put out there that the power that Jesus had and the compassion that he had, and not only that he could do some things, he would do some things. So much so that he couldn't even go back into the city. Wonder what happened to Paclet. If we got our obligations in order, got thankful and grateful, and allowed Jesus to move in our life, if we just seize the opportunities, get over the obstacles, seize the opportunity, and then show our obligation and appreciation to the Lord for all the great things He's done. Amen. Let's stand together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, in Jesus' name, we come to you. So grateful to you, Lord. I want to say thank you from the depths of my heart, Lord. Much obliged, Lord. Much obliged. Thank you. You have power. Not only can you, but you will heal and help. Lord, you've done it in my own life. Lord, you saved my soul. God, you cleansed me. God, you took an old dirty, rotten sinner, washed me in your precious blood, and made me fit for heaven. Lord, that's the greatest miracle I could ever imagine. I pray you'd do it for somebody else today, Lord. God, I beg of you in Jesus' name, draw all sinners to yourself. Heads are bowed, altars are filled. Nobody's looking around. I wouldn't embarrass you for nothing. But Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Jesus is passing by this morning. What is it in your life that you need Him to touch and speak peace to? Seize the opportunity. Come while He's calling. Bow down before Him. Beg if you have to, but whatever you do, don't leave here without believing Him that He will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. However, He will not do for you what you're not willing to do. If it's not important enough for you to come and bow before Him and ask Him, you'll go home the same way you came. Why not come? Why not come? You got a son or a daughter? You got a husband or a wife? You got a marriage that matters to you? Why not come and get help from Jesus? Let Him speak peace to your soul. Sinner friend, this could be the greatest day of your life. Don't you believe that? Why would you listen to the liar, the father of lies, wanting to take you to hell? Why wouldn't you come to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life? Come. Let Him heal you. Let Him help you. He's passing by. He's moved with compassion. Don't let Him move on until you get what you need. You come. People doing business, you come. Oh, Jesus, you come. Come, Lord. Have your way. Oh, Jesus, have your way. God's extended this invitation. The door's still open. Your heart's beating. There's breath in your lungs. That means God's grace is still upon you. Don't let the door shut before you get what you need. Oh, you believe God can. How long has it been since you agreed and believed that God would for you? Get personal with God and He'll get personal with you. Come. Come to Jesus. Be a good time to pray this prayer and mean it. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, that we would come to Jesus, seize the opportunity. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for liberty to preach this morning. Thank you, Lord, for answering those things we ask you in private, Lord. Thank you for help this morning, strength. Thank you for speaking, Lord, to your people. Thank you for speaking to sinners, Lord. Just reminded me, Lord, of the verse. Jesus heard it. He saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Thank you, Lord. Those that don't see their need, those that don't see their self as having a problem, Lord, you can't and won't help. God, I pray you'd reveal to those who have a need, a sickness, a sin problem. Lord, you come to seek and to save that which is lost. Touch now, have your way in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. People doing business with the Lord, you take your